grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this day, the fourth chapter of St. Matthew, the first and second verses. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was hungry. You may remember that it was that great 20th century Christian, C.S. Lewis, who once said that Satan's greatest success in modern times is his stunning success in persuading countless souls that he's a harmless myth, a comical figure, a joke, despite the fact that the last century was marked by evil unparalleled in human history. It was not so for Dr. Luther. Like St. Paul, who said of Satan, we are not ignorant of his devices. Dr. Luther had such a deep awareness of Satan that both his morning and his evening prayers conclude with the petition, let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. In his catechism, Luther explains the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer, and lead us not into temptation, with the words, we pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us, so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us nor seduce us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. And in his translation of the ancient litany from Latin into German, he includes the petition from the crafts, meaning the craftiness and the assaults of the devil, good Lord, deliver us, together with the petition to beat down Satan under our feet, we ask you to hear us, good Lord. And then there's Luther's great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, which we're going to sing at the end of this divine service. And what else is that great hymn but a song of victory, celebrating our Savior's victory over the old evil foe? Yes, for Dr. Luther and all the great teachers of the church, Satan is no harmless myth, no comical figure, no joke. St. Paul said of Satan, we are not ignorant of his devices, and Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And that's why it's so fortunate that on this first Sunday in Lent, we always hear the story of how at the end of our Lord's 40-day fast in the wilderness, he was tempted by the devil. right after telling the story of Jesus' baptism, St. Matthew immediately goes on to say, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, there's a great deal that can be said about this deeply mysterious story of God incarnate's battle with Satan. I say deeply mysterious in part because we know so little of how it happened that before the beginning of the human story, one of the holy angels of God turned against him and led a rebellion of many angels against their maker. St. John, when he was exiled on the island of Patmos, pointed to this mystery when he wrote, "Now war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels." Yes, it's all deeply mysterious. And all we know with certainty is that Satan rebelled, that he fell, and from then on his single-minded purpose has been to destroy God's good creation in general, God's beloved human creatures in particular. This is all deeply mysterious. But what we need to know, what we need to realize, what we need to keep in mind is that Satan operates by deception, by plausible lies, by trickery, just as St. Paul says. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Think about that. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And when we forget that, we find ourselves easy prey to Satan's tricks. Satan's single-minded purpose has always been to destroy God's good creation in general, God's beloved human creatures in particular. And so Satan and his minions go about sowing seeds of envy and jealousy, seeds of suspicion and fear, seeds of bitterness and resentment, seeds of apathy and cruelty as they try to destroy not only peace, our peace of mind, but also peace in our homes, in our communities, peace in our nation, peace in the whole world, and alas, also in the church. You may remember that Dr. Luther once said, wherever God builds a church, the devil builds a chapel. Wherever God builds a church, the devil builds a chapel. And down through all the years of the church's life, Satan has built some rather impressive and powerful chapels for himself, and he continues to do so. But his main purpose is to destroy us forever by separating us from the Lord Jesus, who alone can save us. And Satan's most powerful tool in this evil enterprise is to get us to doubt that we truly are, through Jesus' holy passion, God's beloved children, clothed in baptism with the spotless robe of Christ's blood and righteousness, and therefore eternally precious in God's sight. Satan is the accuser, and he accuses us by causing us to remember only our sins and to forget Christ's mercy. So when Satan accuses us, what is the effective weapon against his accusation? The blood of Christ. It was that great preacher, John Donne, who, when preaching before King Charles I in April of the year of our Lord, 1628, had this to say: never consider the judgment of God on sin alone, but always together with the mercies of Christ. It is but the hissing of the serpent and the whispering of Satan when he surprises you in a melancholy dejection of spirit and lays your sins before you then. Look not on your sins so inseparably that you cannot see Christ too. Come not to confession to God without remembering the promises of the gospel. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Having heard the word of God, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,